Welcome to Parlay with the People, my brother. Thank you for being on the Empower Hour with us today.
Hotep, everyone, and thank you very much for inviting me here. Thank you, Brother Faro. Thanks for the nice work you're doing organizing the community.
Thanks.
So as you already said, my name is Brother Seti Jibanda. Mm-hmm. I'm the Shinuti of AI Canada, Afrocentricity International.
Okay, so now, first of all, you're already dropping science and knowledge on the people. The Sehuti?
Seti?
Yeah, no, you said you are the
Shinuti. Yes,
please
exactly.
Please educate us, my brother. We're here to learn.
Yeah, exactly. So Afrocentricity International is all about, you know, bringing people back at the center of their existence. Okay. So it means that, you know, using our own term also for defining us. Mm. So Shinuti, this is a word in Meduneter. It means noble.
Nice. Yeah, right. You see, you Meduneter. I'm pure here. They're like, wait, what? What's Meduneter? Sorry, I'm gonna deep dive with you, my brother. Okay, but all right, let's go. One thing at a time. But just know, we need to know. We need to know. We need to understand. Okay, cool.
We are all here for that, right? That's spreading the knowledge.
That's what we're here for. Okay, cool.
So for those who are maybe not aware, like the Meduneter, this is the ancient Egyptian language, mm-hmm. right? We know that our ancestors are the one that built all the great stuff in Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. The nice pyramid, the nice social system and everything, right?
Yep.
So the Meduneter is the language that they were using.
Aha, mm-hmm. So you're bringing that straight to our roots.
Yeah.
All our listeners, you guys are welcome. We're bringing you through a little black facts today. Okay, great. All right.
Isn't that Anti-Gina's part?
Yes, it is Anti-Gina's segment. But she ain't here today, so we're carrying it for her with this segment. So good. Okay, awesome. So, all right. So now, the term that you're using, again, if you can repeat it.
Shinuti. Yes.
Okay. And it means, so you are the...
It's like the president. Okay. The president of the association.
Nice. Okay, cool. So, good. So now, before we dive into the association, let's talk a little bit about you, your background. So, what got you into this and different things like that.
Okay, sure. Thank you. So, as I was saying, my name is Seti Dibanda. So, I'm coming from Cameroon. Like, I was born and raised in Cameroon, yeah, right? Cool. Like, this Central Africa. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, I left to go to Germany for study. Mm. And then I came here to Canada, right? Cool. Like, I heard about the Canadian dream, and I said, okay, I want my piece of it, right?
I like the way you turned out. I've never heard of Canadian dream. But good, I'm glad I'm telling to you guys outside. Good. Good, okay. And did you expect the dream to be so cold?
Not quite. You know, you're getting warm about it, right? Like, it's going, kind of like, oh no, it cannot be that bad. But
right.
Yeah, it is that bad, okay?
But yes, okay, cool. So you had your studies in Germany, then you came into Canada.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, and going out actually was... a very powerful experience because, you know, you get to see other culture, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. you get to see how people behave with you differently because of the color of your skin, right? And then it gets you right into that identity question, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who am I? Mm-hmm. Where am I coming from, right?
Good question.
And then you start questioning, right? Okay, you learn a lot of stuff about yourself from the school, right? From the books.
Yep.
And then, you know, at some point you start, you know, asking yourself the question and you realize that, you know, the version that are in the books are not necessarily the truth, right?
Thanks.
And, you know, and then you start digging, like, okay, so what are other versions? What are other versions of the stories, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is all that brought me... first to, you know, there was AfricaMat. It was an organization in Europe, like a lot of conferences. Really, thank you to all the founder of AfricaMat, like for the great work they did, because these are the people that brought us on that path, right?
Mm-hmm. And me personally. It's called AfricaMat?
AfricaMat, yes.
Okay, AfricaMat. M-A-A-T. That's
yes,
another spiritual...
exactly. Right, you know, it means balance.
Okay, right? Good, yeah. Okay.
And, you know, then we started listening to the conferences there, and we were traveling, right? In Germany, as students, we were traveling, we were going to France because they're based in France. Mm. And we're going to France to assist to take part to the conferences.
Yes.
And
okay.
I mean, it was really, really inspiring, right? And, you know, this is also where I met Professor Amamazama, right? Mm. Which is the founder of Afrocentric City International. Okay, right? Yeah. And yeah, I was really inspired by, you know, the message. And this is where, you know, we went back to Germany with my friend and we created the division there, right? Okay. Afrocentric International Germany.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you guys, and I have to commend you for that, because so you guys didn't just hear it and say, okay, cool, that's nice. You guys actually got involved and you wanted to take part and make something happen.
Exactly. Right. When you heard about all those things, then, you know, it has to mean something. It has to transform your life somehow. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is where you say, okay, not just talking, right?
That's it.
Get into the organization part. Right, organize ourselves
exactly,
and then, you know, start doing events and doing things and changing stuff in our life, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after Germany, I came here and I was like, okay, now I started some great work there in Germany. I cannot just let it be, right? That's I have it. To continue here.
Okay.
So.
Okay. You see, I'm glad you brought our listeners a little bit through the reality so they understand what brought us to this here. But again, I commend you, because there's a lot of people who just hear it and it's like, yeah, but they always ask the question, well, you know, what can I do? But no, there's a lot you can do. Like, you know, you can get involved. You could volunteer. You could contribute. You could, but you know, like, but you're taking the lead and taking the challenge of setting it up and being that example. So I commend you for that and for what you're doing in the community.
Thank you very much.
So this is a good segue. So now we could get into AI Canada. So so if you want to break it down so everyone understands what is it, because I just gave the acronym.
Yeah,
so exactly. Afrocentricity International
Canada. Exactly. So Afrocentricity is an ideology, right? Like, it was created by Professor Molefi Kitasante.
Okay.
And Afrocentricity International, the organization, was created by Professor Molefi and Professor Amamazama, right?
Okay.
So Afrocentricity is really about bringing, you know, the African people at the center of the existence. As I was mentioning, right, like, a lot of things that you hear about is not your own version of the story. That's right? It, like, yeah. Most of the time it's the European that came and they say, oh, you guys were savages, you know, we brought you civilization and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, what is civilization?
That's it.
And the truth is, civilization, according to the European paradigm, is not the same as according to the African paradigm.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Like, they would tell you, okay, civilization is having big buildings and that kind of stuff, but is it really the case for African people? It's not that we are not capable of building them. We build pyramids and all the stuff,
that's
right? But in the African paradigm, civilization is being well educated. It means that you respect the people around you. You respect the nature, right?
Yeah.
You respect the order of the cosmos, right?
Yep.
You didn't just kill animals, right?
just
for the fun of
just
killing,
for sport,
right?
Like,
exactly, just for sport.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
This is not civilization for
exactly.
us, right?
See, like, my God, we need claps, guys. I need to invest in the clapper, exactly, because what you just said there, it's like it's such a heavy perspective, because they're telling us what it is to be civilized, but yet they're coming like barbarians.
Exactly, right?
Okay, great.
And they're doing all the bad stuff, and we are the barbarian. But yeah.
Exactly.
So you have to come back at the center of your existence and don't listen to what they're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you have your own way of seeing that, and you have an heritage, right, from your ancestor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have all that kind of solution, because, like, we see that there are different solutions to different problems, right?
Yeah.
And the way you solve the problem is heavily dependent on the way you see life itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Wow.
So some solution will be acceptable for some culture, but for others it may not be acceptable, because it's not taking into consideration the nature, right? Maybe it's not respecting life. So this is why it's really important for us to be back at the center of our existence, right? Like, being connected to a root and, you know, look at life from our own perspective and bring solution, you know, with our own paradigm.
Yeah,
and this is what Afrocentricity is about, right? Bringing you back in the center, bringing you back in power.
Okay, jeez. guys, this is exciting. So now, as we're listening, I know that, and you guys do a lot. So if you guys just, if you could just share with the community, just some of the initiatives, some of the programs,
Sure. So we do some conferences, like we have the Afrocentricity Day. It's in May where we do conference. I mean, with the COVID last year, it was really virtual, and it has some perks too, right? Because you can reach people across the world. Right? When you're doing a Zoom, then you know people can be in France or Belgium or wherever and connect to that. So when you have this conference for the educational part, right? Like all those scientific and cultural terms, right? This is this is where we can discuss them, right? And for that event in particular, where we like to, you know, we pick a topic and we look at it with Afrocentricity, with an Afrocentric perspective, right? Like, so this topic from actuality or in general, like, how is our way of looking at that, right? That problem, what would be our way of solving that, right? According to our paradigm. So this is one event. And then we also do events like honoring the ancestor, right? Like in August, we have a barbecue that we do for honoring Marcus Garvey and, you know, Duty Bookman, Cecil Fatiman, right? Like, because the anniversary, like the birth date is in August, right? And it's something that's also important for us is that we celebrate the birth of our great people.
That's it.
Not their death.
Not their death. Right? Because,
you know, most of the time you're like, okay, yes, he was assassinated, he was killed. Like, okay, but you know, no, this is not what we should celebrate. We should celebrate the day that they reincarnated, like they came back to the community.
Yes.
You know, to bring all the great stuff that they did.
Right? See, so, and I just want to bring just attention to the fact, even as you say, how they are reincarnated. Because again, that is more to our understanding of what life is and how life is.
Exactly.
Cyclical, we come back, like we live an experience, we transcend, and then we come back again.
Exactly, right? And this is our paradigm. And if I may say something about it, like, it's not just some kind of, you know, belief.
Exactly.
We say that because we know, right? I'm not going to get into the details of that because it gets into the spiritual part of the stuff and everything. Yeah. But this is real stuff, right? We know that. We know that, and we know how to talk to the ancestor.
Right.
Exactly. Like the people that are departed, we can talk to them.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So this is not just some religious stuff, right? That's like we have to understand that there is some real science, you know, in our culture, in our tradition, and it's also part, you know, of the work that we're doing, right? Like bringing people near to that science, you know, to that knowledge.
Wow, brother.
And this was one event, and you know, and other events like Kwanzaa, you know, it's coming in December, right?
That's
and
it.
You know, we have Kwanzaa that we happily celebrating, right?
Exactly. And we're gonna deep dive, and actually, we'll transition in a moment to deep dive about the Kwanzaa event and stuff like that. But I wanted to just highlight what I feel is really important, especially in these times. And I feel that the work you guys are doing is really important, because I feel, especially what we went through with COVID, I feel it was an eye-opening time for a lot of people in the community. A lot of things were shut down. It gave time for people to think about what's really important to them. And for me personally, spiritually, I feel like my spirit has been calling me more to reconnect with nature, and has been calling me to just kind of reconnect with my ancestors and just get even more grounded in like my purpose on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, and because I feel like throughout everything, like we know we're here for a reason, but we get distracted, right? We get caught up in the rat race where, you know, like we might be here on a mission to enlighten and encourage or whatever, uplift our community, but then we get stuck in our jobs doing our 9-to-5s and, you know, just you know, so the more material aspect of life becomes more important. But I feel like with the COVID, it made everybody pause and stop and think and reflect, and like it's a time now for people to really like look into what you guys are doing, connect with you guys, because you guys are bringing people back to our roots, to our origin, to our, you know, to the beginning, like you're saying, the center. And I think that's where we need to go as a people, because it's like we have to know where we're coming.
And if I may add, for me also, COVID, it was like, you know, it helped me realize, you know, at which point to social events, like the social part of life is very, very important, right? Because sometimes it's just like, okay, you know, the party, like this is just a party, and you know, it's not important and stuff, right? That more important or elevated stuff to do.
Of course.
Which is true, right? There are many stuff to do, but of the course. Social part is also very important, right? And this is where people realize that when you're not meeting other people, then you know, it is hard for you. You get sick.
You do. Yeah.
Human beings are not meant to live alone.
That's
right?
It.
We are meant to be social, right? Yep. Connecting with people, right? Interacting. And there's a lot of healing that is happening there too.
Yo, right? Well, my brother, you are talking it. I wish Queen Kai was there today. Queen Kai would be snapping. But it's because we talk about this all the time because, like, I feel anything that starts to encourage separation, we have to be careful for.
Yeah.
Because I don't, it's not natural. Like, if you look at us, like, you know, if you look at our cells with a microscope, you'll see everything comes together. The being, the cells, everything works together. When you look at ants work together and they do different things. It, like, us as human beings, we're a species of this planet.
Yeah.
And we should be functioning within that same nature. Like, we should be, like, interacting with each other, feeding off of each other, supporting each other we can, like, that energy. So just us coming together, like you're saying, it's beyond just a social activity. It is actually a reinforcing activity.
Yes.
It's a uplifting, a rebuilding.
Exactly.
Like, it's a, you know, so it's very, very necessary that we do these things. So 100%. So let's transition now actually into Kwanzaa, because that's what this event is going to be doing.
Yes.
So let's talk about it.
Yes, Kwanzaa, right? So it will be Kwanzaa time.
Yes.
And, you know, Kwanzaa, it's a celebration of family, culture, and community, right? And, you know, it was established by the doctor, Professor Mwana Nakarenga, right? Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the 60s, right? And I think it's really important. So maybe one point that I would like to stress, like, Kwanzaa is very, very popular here in North Africa.
Right.
North America, not America.
Right,
sorry.
Yeah.
But when you go to Europe or in Africa, it's today that people start hearing about Kwanzaa, right?
Okay.
Yes. It's very popular in North America, but in other parts of the world, maybe not so. But still, right? So when I come here, like, being of, you know, African descent, and I see something like that, I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, yes, like, the people, they started at some point, you know, organizing and saying, okay, we have to get back to our roots, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to reconnect, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, for me, it's really important that I can join that effort, right?
I love it.
Instead
it.
Of coming and you're like, oh, no, I know better, you know,
right.
I don't know.
No, you see, again, it's important to put focus on that, because we talk about unity all the time. We talk about doing stuff all together, but then we launch our own initiatives.
Exactly.
And do our own things separate. And we're like, yeah, we should do it together, but I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
It's like, that's so, you know?
And exactly. And there may be a reason why people want to do their own thing, right?
Right,
I mean, I'm not
going
to judge them.
Exactly,
but
right.
I think that, you know, we have to put more effort, right,
yes.
into joining what is already existing.
Well
and,
said.
You know, and we see that, you know, the Professor Karenga did his homework on that, right?
Mm,
like,
well said.
You know, Kwanzaa is based on the... I don't know how to say it in English, like fête de récolte, like harvest fest, right?
Mm-hmm,
like,
yeah.
Okay, it's based on that, right?
Yeah.
This is something that has been celebrated in Africa, right, through centuries, right?
Yeah,
and when you look at the color of the Kwanzaa, right, the red, the black, and the
green.
Right? These are the color of the Pan-African flag.
That's it.
Coming from Marcus Garvey, right?
Yeah,
like, he didn't say that, you know, I need my own personal color for my own personal stuff, right? No, he built on stuff that was done before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm saying, okay, for Afrocentricity International, it's really important that we build upon that, right?
I love that.
Kwanzaa is a Pan-African first, and, you know, we support the effort, we join that, and, you know, and we celebrate it with everybody else.
Ah, brother, well said. Well said. And it's like, and I think the, I'm encouraging the community to come out because it's our thing. You know, it's like, for those, you know, there's nothing wrong with celebrating Christmas if that's, you know, that's what you guys are into. But take a moment to connect especially for your children, for the next generation coming out, expose them to the culture.
Yes, you have to. And if I may add, you know, because you have to give stuff, you know, the way that they were conceived and intended to, right? Like, Kwanzaa is not a religious celebration, right? It's cultural.
Yeah.
So it's not in opposition with Christianity or Islam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, for us, our Century International, it's important to be connected to your ancestor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, again, Kwanzaa itself, right, is cultural.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're Christian, like, feel free to do both, right? There's no opposition in that.
Yeah,
but,
well,
yes, but then, you know, at this time of the year, you know, as parent, I see that, you know, I have a big family.
Yeah,
but, like,
of course, you know.
Congratulations on that. You know, this is the real work.
Yeah,
but, you know, but as parent, you know, at some point you ask, like, okay, you see, the holiday time is coming. You're like, okay, what am I going to do with my family? How are we going to celebrate?
That's right. It.
And you see that all this Christmas fever and everything, like, okay, it's all nice, but there is a culture in that, right?
That's it.
We know that, you know, there is the culture of some people that is that's dominant, you know, in the celebration. And you're like, okay, so am I recognizing myself in that, right? Are my kids going to recognize themselves in that, right?
That's
so what can we do?
Yeah.
We have Kwanzaa.
Yo, you're saying it because that was like one of the things with the children was really getting them to express their perspectives on it. And well, we keep it 100 in our house. So our children know what time it is. Like, you know, like we let them know the difference. What is Christmas? Like how it came to being, like just a story, you know. But we also let them know about our culture and the importance and like what Kwanzaa really means to them. And and they like, you know, and actually, well, he you could share like your perspective in terms of when you think Kwanzaa compared to Christmas, what is your perspective in it?
Because like, well, hearing and listening to the conversation, it's like when I think of Kwanzaa, I think of it as a very like welcoming kind of holiday, because it's not like you said before, it's not designated to a certain religion like how it is for Christmas, because it's a very it's a welcoming holiday, it's a universal holiday, and I like it because it serves like there's certain life lessons also, because for each day, I can't remember all the names right now, it's top of my head.
But just the principles, yeah.
The principles. The principles of each day, and how they each have, like, different life lessons.
Exactly.
I feel like that's good for us as children to learn those life lessons, too. Especially, like, because every time it's around New Year, so every year that we get, like, kind of like a reboost of these lessons, I feel like that's good for us as children to learn those lessons.
Yes. And the way it's celebrated, too, right? So we are, for instance, international, you know, we in the events that we're doing, we also, you know, try to educate people on how they can celebrate it, right?
That's
again,
it.
You know, like there's no proselytism. We're just showing one way of doing that, right? People are free to, you know, adapt and, you know, do how it's better for them, right? But you know, the way Kwanzaa is celebrated, you can also see that, you know, there's a big part in the family part and in the exchanging, right? So for those who are not maybe familiar with that, so maybe I can say a few words on, you know, the celebration of Kwanzaa. So as you were saying, you know, like the seven principle, and, you know, and Kwanzaa is celebrated from 26th December to January 1st. So 7 days. And each day is a principle, right? We start with Umoja, which is unity, right? And for the celebration, like, you know, you're there, you would build your shrine, right, for the ancestor and put all the interesting stuff, you know, like I would say, I would tell more on that in the event, right? You know,
We're giving you guys a sneak peek. But we want you guys to come out.
Exactly.
It's the 30th that we're doing.
Exactly, right? Just come and, you know, we can celebrate all together and you can see in details how you can do it at home with your family, right?
Exactly,
But, you know, the really nice part, right? A really important part in the celebration, you know, is like, when people drink from the Kikombe Chaumoja, right, the cup of unity, right, where everybody from the family is going to drink from the same cup.
Yes.
Right? And there's very, very deep spiritual meaning in that.
Very
right?
symbolic.
Because, like, you know, the real spiritual stuff, like, you drink from the same cup, right? I can tell you, like, you know, the marriage, African, traditional African marriage celebration, there's also drinking from the cup.
True. That's true, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
So you're
exactly. There's a unity, there's a bond.
Exactly. There's a bond that's being forged there, right? You can see this spiritual part already, right?
Wow.
So, and you do that as family, where you create, you know, and you intensify that bond with your family, right? And then you get to talk and everybody get to tell his perspective, right? On the today's principle and stuff. So, personally, I think that it's really nice and refreshing, you know, instead of just, you know, dropping some prison to kids, you know, and saying
under a tree and saying this.
And do the stuff, right? I mean, there's really deeper meaning in how we can celebrate Kwanzaa, and I really like it.
Okay, cool. You know? So now, all right, so then, if I ask you, do you know all the seven principles by heart? Like,
yes.
Yeah? Okay. Can we run them through for
you? Okay, let's go. Okay. So the first one is Umoja, which is unity. Second one is Kujichagulia, which is self-determination. Third one is Ujima, which is a collective work. Fourth one is Ujama. This is economic cooperation. Fifth one is Nya. That's the purpose.
Okay, purpose.
Sixth one is Kumba, creativity.
Okay.
And seventh one is Imani, faith.
Jeez, snap, snap, snap. Damn. I put you on the spot there, so you got it.
Yeah. So I know my stuff, guys.
Yeah, no, check. You got it. Okay, he knows his stuff, guys. No, but honestly, okay, so this is like, it's been years, and so it's the OFC and West Can that we're collaborating with you on this event.
Yes,
again,
I mean.
Because it's important that we show this unity, that we work together. There's no point in us having separate events. Kind of know the OFC, we used to put on a little something for Kwanzaa, West Can as well. So we're like, you know what? Let's join forces and just do it all together.
Yeah.
It's better for the community, and it's a good example to show.
Yeah, and we really appreciate, you know, you guys celebrating with us now for a few years, right? Like, it would be the second, third time?
Yeah, it's going to be the third, yeah, because with the COVID stuff.
Yeah, with the COVID, we had a break, but it's going to be the third time, and I can see that, you know, it's a better celebration, right? Like, I mean, you guys contributing with nice stuff.
Yeah, we bring games, we bring energy. Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice, right? Yeah, it's really nice. And also, I think that, you know, maybe it's important, like, you know, every organization, maybe, you know, we should make the effort and, you know, and make a step toward each other, right? Because obviously, you know, it's no political, right? The way we're doing that, we spend about Kwanzaa, no political discretion, right? This is a moment to be just community and enjoy the time, right? Like, we leave all the academical discussion and all that. We know that, you know, every organization has stuff that they're seeing and, you know, where they disagree. That is fine. That's okay, right? But sometimes, you know, we can leave all the discussion and, you know, just be together, you know, enjoy the time, right?
And enjoy that social time together.
Exactly, social time together. So I really appreciate you guys, you know, joining us on the celebration of that event.
That's all love. And actually, so now, even as you guys are listening to this, if you're a part of a different community organization and you want to get involved, we invite you out. We're going to share the contact information to get involved. You could come as guest this year, and maybe next year you could be part of the collaboration as well.
Yes,
that would be awesome to get more organizations involved and have them invite them.
Exactly. We definitely open, you know, on having other people, you know, join in the organization and the celebration, right? And we can even make a rotation, right?
That's
like, enough organization that, okay, every year one organization is responsible for, you know, setting up everything, and, you know, we just go there and celebrate with them.
I love that. So okay, so let's give the people some contact information, because people are listening out there, so they want to take part. So so first off, so for the event, it's going to be Friday the 30th.
Exactly.
So if you want to just give the information, location, contact information, where they can reach.
Yes, sure. We do have that flyer that is circulating, right? We can also forward in the network. But
it's going to be on the Empower Hour page. Sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's Friday, December 30th. Mm-hmm. It's at 7 p.m. opening. It will be at Cali Moment. Mm-hmm. You can look it up in internet, right? This by the way, you know, the venue is owned by a sister of the community.
Nice.
Right?
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, we are really into encouraging, you know, a business from the community, right? And I was really, really happy, right, to discover that place. So
beautiful.
I mean, very nice place, very nice venue. You know, we were expecting you, right? Mm-hmm. And it would be like 7 p.m., I was saying, contact. So we have a Facebook event for that. You know, if you go to Afrocentricity International Montreal on Facebook, we do have the event there. We will have all the details, right? With the flyer and stuff. So there is a phone number on the flyer right now. I don't have it.
So I'll share it. So you guys grab your pens. I'll give you guys a second to open up your phone so you can take down the phone number. All right. 3, 2, 1. Okay, good. Enough time. So the phone number is 438-802-2225. That's super simple, guys. One more time. 438-802-2225. All right, and the address, just so you guys can note it as well, it is 7012 Côte d'Elias. So that is in Ville Saint Laurent. And again, it is a Friday, December 30th, and the doors open at 7. And there's a small contribution. So we are selling tickets in advance. We are encouraging people to buy their tickets in advance.
Yes, please. Like, it's $35 in advance, and it will be $45 at the door.
And we're going to have more delicious food last night. Guys, for the price and the food and the vibes and the entertainment, it is well worth it. I encourage everybody to get your tickets in advance. There's going to be more at the door. You guys, you want to save that money, you get the tickets in advance.
And you know, since I'm there, like really a shout out to all the people that are contributing for make that even accessible. Because like, as you know, if you try to compare, right, like most even at this time, it's like $50-$55 minimum at entry, right? So if we're doing that at $35, it's because some people are actually sponsoring that. So that is accessible for everybody. So thank you for all those people, right? Like if you guys feel like you want to contribute, so don't hesitate, right? You can reach out to us. And for us, it's really important that it's accessible, like people can just come.
That's and come and take
because
part.
Because it's family event, right? That's so maybe it's also important. So kids are welcome.
Yes.
Kids under 12 don't pay. From 12 up, you know, they have to pay for the food, right? But
because they eat a lot, these children.
Yeah, you know, like young adults.
Just, well said, young adults. After 12, you have children. You guys are eating like grown people. But yes,
no. Yeah, but this is fine, right? They have to grow. I mean, we need strong men and strong women in the community, right?
That's the idea. But also for those who just want to, is it the same phone number and contacts for those who just want to get involved? Like for those who want to get more involved with the organization, if they want to take part in the programs, like because I know there's people who are listening right now, and the idea of reconnecting and understanding the center of themselves and their culture and stuff like that is resonating with them.
Definitely. Yeah, this is the same phone number, or they can reach us on Facebook. Right? Facebook is really the best way, right? Drop a message, right? We answer them and you know, invite them to the to our meetings.
So, and if they go, so if they just search Afrocentricity in general, then they'll see everything world, like all over the world, Afrocentricity.
But yes, exactly. We have a lot of organization around the world, right? We have divisions in United States, in Europe, in Africa, all over the world. Beautiful. And actually, this is good, right? Depending on the on the country you are,
right?
Like just search Afrocentricity International on Facebook, and you will see all the division pop up. And you can pick the one that is nearest to you.
Brother, this has been awesome. Like, I thank you. I thank you again for what you're doing, for just keeping, for keeping the culture alive, for creating this opportunity for us to be able to, again, reconnect with our center, understand our roots. These are foundational things. And when we're in times, again, like I keep saying it, it's like life is giving us this opportunity to kind of reconnect. Life has come full circle, so to speak, no pun intended. But it is coming full circle, and it's time for us to just know our roots, know our history. And I like one of the terms you're saying that it's our paradigm, right?
Yes.
And I think it's important that people even just understand it. Like, you make your reality, right? Like, what you focus on, what you think about, it starts to morph your world.
Exactly.
Right? So it's time, guys, that we get into this paradigm where we understand that we're kings and queens on the planet. We're not ancestors of slaves.
Very nice point, brother. Yeah. Right? You know, our history doesn't start with slavery.
At all. It's right? Like, it's like, so crazy that that's what we think. Yeah. Like, it's like, guys, stop it. Like, but without groups like Afrocentricity bringing that real history to the forefront, like we're only going off of what we quote unquote know, and that what we know has been taught to us by the Europeans, who technically did, like, who took over the things and completely refed us the information how they thought fit. In the nicest way possible. It could have been a lot more colorful. But it's just that, you know, so with them trying to tell us what civilization is, we know more, guys. We come from a very, you know, a very rich history. So I thank you for what you're doing, my brother. I encourage you. I'm looking forward to the event this coming Friday. Or the 30th, I should say. And again, one more time, I just want to remind the community, check out Afrocentricity on Facebook. Now, before we close off, you know what I like to do? I like to ask our guests to leave our listeners with some empowering words.
Yeah.
As this is the Empower Hour, what would you like to leave us with?
First of all, I would like to thank you for inviting me. I very appreciate it. And I would like to thank the ancestor, right, for bringing me here and to show me the way. Yeah. And I'm sure they're going to show me the way home, right, that I can go to my family unarmed, unscattered. So as empowering world, like we were saying, you know, our history starts a long time ago, right? We have a very, very, very long lineage. And you have to look at it this way. Like, when you walk, you don't walk alone. You have your ancestor behind you. Like, and when you, the more you reconnect with them, the more people walk behind you. So when someone is going to look at you, he's not looking at you, he's not looking one person, you know, one single person that's going to, you know, throw around. They're going to see an army. Like, when I see my brother Farah, I'm going to see, like, 30,000 people behind him.
Right.
Like, oh no, I don't want to mess with
you. Okay.
Right? So we really have to connect to ourselves, to our ancestors, to our lineage. This is our heritage. This is how we're going to get powerful. Mm. Like, what empowers the other is not necessarily what empowers you.
Mm.
You have to get back to your center and really look for that source of power for yourself. This is the only way to rise on top.
Woo! Jeez! You guys have heard it. This is Empower Hour. I can't say anything else after that. That is how you close off the Empower Hour. Thank you again, my brother, for being on Parley with the People. Wishing you all kind of success with the organization, all kind of growth, and just looking forward to our event coming this Friday. Peace and much blessings.
Thank you, brother Power. Peace.
You know what time it is. This is Kaya's Jambalaya. You know I'm always cooking up something hot. Come on in. Let me feed you, baby.
Chow, you know, it would only be in true Empower Hour style that we are turning it up on this show right before Christmas and the New Year's. Like, this is it for us. Like, this is going to be, I think, one of the most epic years that we're coming into. And we are ending this one off just as epic. Is Hollywood hot this week or not? Let's talk about this, y'all. We had a good year. I think within the entertainment business, I think we all really had good years, safe to say. But I don't think anyone had a better year than singer and songwriter The Dream.
Word?
The Dream, hey, listen to this. For the 65th Grammy Award nomination, Songwriter of the Year, The Dream. Album of the Year, Beyoncé's Renaissance. Record of the Year, Beyoncé's Break My Soul. Song of the Year, Beyoncé's Break My Soul. Best R&B Song, Beyoncé, Cuff It. Rap Album of the Year, Pusha T, Almost Dry. Best R&B Performance, Beyoncé, Virgo's Groove. Best Remix Recording, Beyoncé, Break My Soul. Best Dance Album, Beyoncé, Renaissance. Best Dance Recording, Beyoncé, Break My Soul. Listen, don't play with this man. If for those of you who don't know, this is Christina Milian's baby daddy.
Whoa.
Y'all remember Christina Milian?
Mm-hmm.
This is her baby father. So check this out. Not only because he is like, hold on. Beyoncé, Break My Soul, Billboard number one. He also, for Songwriter of the Year, this is for his Grammy considerations, Break My Soul, Thick, Rolling Stone. Hold on. Rolling Stone by Brent Faiyaz, I'm That Girl, Beyoncé, Pure / Honey, Beyoncé, Ghetto Gatsby, Brent Faiyaz, Cuff It, Beyoncé, Summer Renaissance, Beyoncé, Church Girl, Beyoncé, Loose Change, Brent Faiyaz, Beyoncé, All Up in Your Mind, America Has a Problem, Beyoncé, Rock and Roll, Pusha T, Listen, Rosalia, Al Salimiento, something like, I think that's what it's called, Mercedes, Brent Faiyaz, Energy, Beyoncé, Listen, Bad Luck, Brent Faiyaz, Cozy, Beyoncé. This man single-handedly annihilated the music game this year.
I had no clue.
That type of genius has to be applauded.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. I read this and I was like, no. We got to show this brother some love because he is not joking right now. And the way his mind must work. Listen, it takes me forever to write two bars. Four bars is difficult for me at times. I'm like, listen, bro, I'm about to fall down in here, and especially for the quality that I'm trying to give. He's winning Grammys and being nominated for Grammys. You know what this requires? Listen. So we want to give a shout out to the game. And yes, I took my time to list out all those songs because I need y'all to understand this is genius and y'all need to pay attention to this and be looking out for more from this guy, because if he could do this, I know that next year he'll exceed this. So it's a thing. The music industry right now has been in a kerfuffle for quite some time now. But I don't think anyone has stirred up the industry more than Meg Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez this year.
Mm.
This case that they're talking about right now has been one of the most worst played out court cases involving two celebrities I think we've seen in the history of time. I don't know if you guys been keeping up with it, but have you been keeping up with it?
Just on the Empower Hour when you fill me in on a weekly basis. Thank you, Kai.
Well, it's a mess. Do y'all remember me saying back when that I feel like there's going to be a twist and we're going to find out that Tory didn't shoot nobody?
Yes, I remember you saying that.
They got gunpowder on Kelsey Nicole, and there's some on Tory Lanez too. However, on the cartridge of the gun, they found female DNA. So who loaded the gun?
Ooh, papa!
But does that mean that this might have been a plot by both of them?
Let me give you some more information. They say that there was a witness who his backyard actually points to where the situation actually took place, allegedly. And he says that he remembers seeing a female with the gun, shooting it, and then going back to the car and then seeing Tory emerge with the gun in his hand from the truck. They said that a male and a female, or they're saying he thinks that it is three people who actually went over to the person who was on the floor who was shot, because he doesn't know who they were at the time. They all went over to the person who was laying on the floor, and it appears that they were trying to pick them up to throw them into a nearby river. They say they beat the person up that was on the ground that was shot, and then they picked the body up, and they were trying to take it over, look like, to the body of water, but then they ended up taking her and putting her inside the truck. Now, a lot of people are going against Meg Thee Stallion right now because it appears that she lied in several different cases on this forum in regards to what may have happened that night and to her relationship, to the level of her relationship with Tory Lanez. But recent information reveals that the fight started in the car, which led to the then quote unquote or alleged shooting, when Tory said to Meg to tell her friend Kelsey the truth. And it appears that they're talking about Kelsey having been hooked up with Tory Lanez first, getting sick with COVID, going away for 2 weeks, and behind in her absence, Tory and Meg started to be intimate and started dating. And that night was one of her first nights back, and then it was all revealed because Megan was acting like she liked Tory. However, she knew that her friend was the one who was supposed to be dating him at the time. Also, to the Gayle King interview that she did, when Gayle King actually asked her if she had an intimate relationship with Tory Lanez, and she said no. So,
lies.
Well, they got some memes that had me cracking up, but they got Megan Thee Stallion merging into Jossie.
Who's Jossie?
You know, the young
Jussie Smollett.
Smollett, yeah. It's terrible, but this is what it is. The internet is on flames right now, and there's so many people, I have to say, there are so many people who are against Megan Thee Stallion right now, but regardless of whether she's lying or not, there's a lot of women that are still backing her because the situation is embarrassing enough, but she has now moved on to a new relationship, and she went public the other day to say that her relationship is being tested right now because her boyfriend is embarrassed about all of the stuff that they're saying in this case involved with her. They are revealing just way too much stuff about her sexual background during the time she was supposed to be dating Tory and before and after. So there's some salacious tales being told. And you know what? I just feel like even in the case that this is what it is, I think we all need to stick to what is at hand. I don't think that we should be delving into her past or their past about past lovers or previous lovers. I don't think that it's orthodox or should be allowed because it's casting a very negative shadow on her. And even though I have my own opinions about this case and I have been very verbal about it, I want everyone to know that at no shape or time do we condone violence and especially amongst lovers. This is something that is a terrible thing. So I just want to say that, you know, I wish Megan the best in whatever it is that she's going through right now. And I hope that whatever it is that they're dealing with, they end up resolving. And I'm gonna leave that at that. If you guys have anything to say, please.
So are you saying you're not going to be reporting anymore? Because I'm hoping for some more tea. Is your saying?
Oh, no. I'm gonna bring the news, but...
Okay.
Yeah, the jury's deliberating. My only thing is this. One thing's for certain out of this whole situation is that she did get shot. The whole people making jokes about it and all that, like, they did say that there were bullet fragments still in her foot.
Right, that doesn't mean she got shot. That means that the fragments could have came up off this concrete where they shot the concrete.
She was shot at, period. So someone discharged a gun, right?
Right.
And it wasn't her. Right. So, like, regardless of what, if we're talking about the fact that there was violence, whether it was Tori, whether it was the friend, whether it was the driver, whether it was whoever right. it was, there was it was a problematic situation. So however she wanted to tell the story and whether she said she was in a relationship with Tori or not, she was inflicted by a gunshot. Period. So that, like, we're gonna give her. However, like, she came back and said, oh, she didn't want to say this because she was embarrassed, but all that is irrelevant. There's lies coming from all parties. So at the end of the day, what my expectations are out of all of this is that there's gonna be a mistrial.
Yes.
And the way they're building it out, and this random witness out of nowhere saying, oh, it looked like they were dragging her to a lake, like, what are we talking, or a body of water? It sounds ridiculous. And it sounds like, let's add more ridiculous sauce to this to ensure that after all things are said and done, it'll come out, look, Megan didn't lie, she was wounded, but we don't know where she was wounded from, and it's all a mistrial, so we all, until proven guilty, everyone has to be innocent. And everyone's going to go back to their regular lives at the end of the day.
Well, they're now talking about Megan Thee Stallion's former bodyguard, Justin, actually went missing right before the trial, right before he was set to testify in court. So they said they're currently investigating his disappearance, but someone wrote something on his social media the other day. So we'll see what happens.
Once the mistrial's done, everybody's going to come out of the woodworks. The driver's going to come, because they can't find the driver either, right? So all of a sudden, everyone's going to go back to this. I think that started this whole thing, and they probably all spoke to each other to just be like, let's just make this a mistrial and just hosh-posh this whole thing out.
Yeah.
And then they're going to all drop albums. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, Tori made a whole album dedicated to the situation, right? And they're saying that it didn't do so well, but the numbers are actually going up right now. But he talked about the situation in a song, and he bled his heart out because he's like, you know, I need y'all to understand me. But y'all will know in the end. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, he tweeted something. I said this on one of the last shows. He tweeted something right beforehand. And he was just like, you know, if God is the, like, what I think he is, y'all all going to see. That's where I'm going to leave it. My God is my God, and don't test my God. So we'll see what happens. But I am rooting for that queen. And I do hope that whatever justice means to her, that she gets that.
I was hoping for a sex tape. No sex tape came out, so that sucks. But anyways, all right, keep going.
Oh, you're terrible. So we're going to go into something a little bit off the grid, a little bit of all of that crazy stuff. Rihanna's baby. Pictures was leaked of Rihanna's baby. Videos were leaked of Rihanna's baby. And when I tell you, he is the cutest snookum wookums that you ever seen in your whole entire life. Just like, and don't show up here with no police. I don't want to hear it, but he's kidnappable. That's all I'm going to say. He's oh no. I would completely give up all of this for a little shovel vocals like this. She's such a fortunate girl. You have to see him. Have y'all seen this baby?
As you're speaking, I'm like, I want to see this baby. Listen, want to see this baby right now.
And you know what? The kid is so cute, and the people them are still wicked talking about he got Rihanna's forehead. But I'm like, you don't worry about that forehead, because you know why? That works on a boy. It doesn't always work on a girl, but it works on a boy. Boys can have a little bit of something off.
There's a lot of forehead, but that's okay. It's a cute baby. Hold on.
He is the cutest. Yeah,
cutie. Look at that. Look at that.
Oh, and he makes all his mama's facial expressions.
Yeah, he definitely has that Rihanna 5 head going on, but it's okay.
Oh, isn't it? Oh no, he's so cute.
If he is.
You can tell he's going to be a thinker. He's definitely going to be the head of his class.
Look at this guy.
He's definitely going to be the head of the class.
Not you with the head jokes, Kaya.
I'm just saying, when you report to him, you're reporting to headquarters. Stop it.
You see, Gina, I was trying not to laugh at the head jokes that Kaya was making. But he's cute. He's cute. No, just braid his hair to the front. It'll be fine.
Okay. No, you don't even got to braid it to the front because he's cute. Don't worry. It's all going to grow in time. Remember, I told you this. And this is a Bayesian child. Let me tell you something. They be cute. They be cute little kids. Sometimes the adult boys, they got little other different situations. But this little boy right here, he's going to be beautiful. And I know because I'm looking at him, he's going to be gorgeous. I'm not worried about him. Yeah, and he can have a big forehead. He can shave his head bald. He's going to be a handsome little boy. So I'm not worried about it. So I had to put that in there before it got dark.
Thank you.
Okay. That's my piece. This is Kaya's Jambalaya, guys. And I'm out.
Hey, everybody. I'm Gina the Great, a.k.a. Miss Politically Correct, a.k.a. The Devil's Advocate, a.k.a. Big Liar in Energy. And this is Ungrind My Gears, a segment where we keep it light, keep it bright, and share some fun facts and some jokey jokes.
All right, guys, let's kick it off with a couple of black facts. I say a couple. I just got one, though.
Yeah.
So, as y'all know, the World Cup ended on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Argentina won. Shout outs to Messi. I think that was a really big thing in his career. And so that's a big whole thing there. Although Argentinian fans had fun singing some basically they were singing a song that was kind of saying, because I believe it was against Argentina and France. Please don't quote me on that because I really didn't watch it. I just knew the results. And they were just kind of like, basically like the French team is basically just African teams because it's just all black folks, which they're not wrong. Because, you know, the only time the colonizers love them some Africans is when they play their sports. So they do give them the citizenships real quick when they can play sports. So yes, I'll say that. But my little black fact from there is actually, as the season was going on, there was a black fact about dribbling. So they dribble in soccer or football. Let me call it football. Let me respect the fact of what everyone else in the whole world says outside of North America. Fair. But so do you guys know what dribbling is in football? It's a lot of the footwork. So they kind of do things where it's like they're dribbling the ball on the floor, if you will. And they said that was created by Afro-Latino Brazilians. So black Brazilians, because when they first started the game, of course, you know, black people were allowed to play sports later down the line. But when they started the game, they kind of had no rules and the white players could do whatever they want to the black players. And like damn near tackle them or what have you, or just kick them. And you know, in football, your shoes have cleats, and so like if you get kicked or whatnot with a football shoe, like you'll get hurt.
You're gonna feel it. Yeah,
heavily injured. So they had to devise a plan on doing ball tricks to be able to avoid getting injured. And now, like that's basically that's how soccer became so interesting to watch. And I say this for those who are fans, because I personally. I'm not really about that. I'm getting into it because my nephew, that's his zhuzh. But he does that, all these little tricks, and he's really focusing on that. But that actually roots in from black Brazilian football players who had to devise a way to still be able to play without getting injured by the non-black players who had no regulation on how they could treat them.
That is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's right. A little black fact. Speaking of which, man, I didn't want to follow up with this because this was a little line that I came across that I wanted to share. This is definitely not a line on the Ungrind My Gears, but I think it's an important message to say to mention, because as I've seen on social media, someone had posted that domestic violence and cheating are not part of the ups and downs in a relationship. So, you know, when they say for better or worse in those vows, domestic violence and cheating is not supposed to be the worst part. And I think historically speaking, whoever decided that that's what needed to be in the vows, that's what they were thinking in their head. Ladies and gentlemen, I say this because, as we know, during the pandemic, a lot of femicide stuff happened and whatnot. And as we're closing in the year, I do feel there's a lot of things that kind of happened that kind of made static to what has been going on there, because we're still kind of hearing about those stories. And also, like we were talking about at work, what are some of the charity works that you want to do and whatnot, and women who need help and who need shelter, that's still a very big area that we should support and look into. So we would like to thank our special guest today. This episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, Solo Drum, the Caribbean Carry House, and Afrobeats MTL. Ladies, gents, any final words before we head out?
On my side, again, yeah, like, well, you already did shout out, I guess, for today, but the junior host did a really, really good job. So, you know, big up to them and everything that they're doing.
Shout out to the juniors.
You know, yeah, big shout out to the juniors. And as we're just wrapping up the year, I just want to remind everybody about this Kwanzaa event. Reach out to us if you want to take part. I'll put the details on the Empower Hour page. So just check us out on Friday, December 30th. It will be celebrating Kwanzaa in Ville Saint-Laurent. So definitely reach out. That would be awesome. And don't forget, if anything you need over the holiday seasons, into the new year, don't let yourself go be stressed out on your own. You need any support, anything, reach out to the OFC. We're here at your service. And thank you to all the businesses that help to empower the OFC to help us to continue to do what we're doing. That's it for us.
Shout out to my whole, to everybody that's in prison, incarcerated right now, to all my incarcerated Scarfaces. Y'all make sure y'all hold it down. Take care of one another. Peace. And know that we know you're listening and we sending love.
So just quick shout out to my sisters. It will be their birthdays by the time you hear it. The birthdays would have passed by the time you hear this, but shout out to Nara and Naomi on the 27th and the 28th. Happy birthday to you. And myself, because it's coming up, but all right. Capricorn Nation.
All right, guys, this is Lil Kwanzaa and we out.
And queens, this was the Empower Hour with Pharoah Freeman, Queen Kaya, and Gina the Great. We are on live every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. and broadcasting Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment. Subscribe and watch us on empowermtl.com and email us at empowermtl@gmail.com to anonymously be featured on our What's the Tea Mail segment. Stay blessed, black, and highly favored.
The return started at December 31st, New Year's Eve, and this year is the Dubai edition.
Habibi, come to Dubai.
And featuring music by Montreal's favorites, DJ Big Worm, James Bond, and King Fari. And all the way from Toronto, Soul to Soul. Hampton Inn and Suites, 1900 Trans-Canada Highway in Dover. Black and White, the Dubai edition. Saturday, December 31st, New Year's Eve. Inside the Hampton Inn and Suites. It's a year-to-year sold-out event you can't afford to miss. Be there. Yeah.
We're gonna get funky.
All right.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Lady Rita and Friends proudly presents the 11th annual New Year's Eve Affair. Saturday, December 31st at the Jamaica Association, Noel Alexander Banquet Hall. Music by DJ Tony, Fire T, DJ Thomas, and Surprise DJ. Dress to impress. Prize for the best dressed couple. Champagne and finger food. Balloon drop at midnight. Advance tickets only $30. More at the door. Ticket locations, Annecy Hair Salon, Frontline Restaurant, and the Jamaica Association. 4065 Jean Talon West. Info 514-913-4335. Lady Rita's New Year's Eve Affair, Saturday, December 31st at the Jamaica Association.
Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.